Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017,
run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. Yeah. For Bryden's lawyers protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler, and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
And if you've just joined us, a very good afternoon. Welcome to it. Thanks to Bryden's lawyers protecting your future. Still got two games to call for you across the Triple M network. This weekend, 4 o'clock today, Tigers and Roosters. And then tomorrow, we're backing up with the Dragons. And the Doggies are here, of course, all thanks to Bryden. So just so you can make sure you're listening wherever you are, very important that you have that app on your phone at triplem.com.au. And, guys, just the results, if you've missed them so far this weekend, working back, Cowboys 32, Para 6, Panthers 24, Raiders 20, Warriors 34, Titans 12, Broncos 24, Souths 18, Manly 18, Knights 14, Storm 18, Sharks 13. And look, while we were talking about the Knights before, just quickly, we didn't mention that they have signed Aiden Guerra for a couple of years, which is a good signing for them moving forward.
Yeah, it is a good signing. He's a solid player, origin player, knows what it takes to win a game. And look, the hope for Nathan Brown and a lot of those Knights fans is that he goes up there and he teaches the young kids coming through what it takes to win.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that for you, and hopefully they'll get a few more. Maybe, Kenny, they could have a look at Ryan Hoffman if he's off.
Well, they could. You know? There's nothing stopping them, Maroon. Yeah, it's a free market. That's maybe what
it's
all about.
I'll give Brownie a call
say... I'll tell you what, you're getting...
You're sort of like an ideas man, aren't you?
Not many, but you got some.
Yeah, but you should keep the ones that you have for yourself.
Could you see me in some sort of a consultant role for an NRL club?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just ring up Brownie, why don't you sign Ryan Hoffman? It's a good idea.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for...
I saw Brownie on at the football on Friday night, and he said, whatever you do, don't give Maroon my number.
Well, it's too late, Ryan, because I've got his number already.
He's changed it.
Let's go to the phones now. They got out of trouble last night, and they've now won four games in a row. One of the great young players in the NRL from the Penrith Panthers. Famous name, a royal name in rugby league, the Cleary name. Nathan Cleary, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Cheers, mate. How you going?
Fantastic. Can we go back to where this winning streak began, half-time in that Warriors game when you were down 28-6? What did you guys say to each other, or what did Anthony Griffin say to you guys at half-time at Penrith?
Yeah, it's kind of been tossed around a fair bit. Everyone asking what was said, but it actually wasn't too much. It was actually more just everyone saying that we kind of need to put it into actions. You know, there was a lot of words being spoken during the week of training and in the previous weeks, but in that second half, we just kind of went out and played hard for each other and then just kind of built off that.
Hey, Nathan, it must be sort of like a little bit strange for you because your dad, and he's going to give you advice, but now he's coaching another club. Does he still give you the same advice as what he was doing last year and at the beginning of this year?
Yeah, it is pretty bizarre, but you know, he's been really good about that. It's been the exact same, you know. As soon as we get home, he's still kind of my dad, and then we can just kind of talk footy and that without kind of letting that get in between us. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
It'll be a funny household when you play him, isn't it?
Yeah, might get kicked out for the week, I think.
Hey, Nathan.
No, your mother will kick him out for the week, I reckon.
Nathan, there's been a lot of talk about your new 5'8 partner, Matty Moylan, and I guess a lot of people were thinking he was moved there because you've had, you know, injury and form lapses at the number six this year. But Dylan Edwards' performance yesterday might have put everyone notice of the fact that you guys just need to have him as part of your 17. He was outstanding.
Yeah, 100%. You know, Dill's always been a really hard worker, and he killed it in the 20s last year, and I'm really stoked for him to kind of get his opportunity now, and he's definitely taken it with both hands. But, you know, I ask anyone around the club, he works the hardest out of anyone. He's the fittest, and, yeah, I'm just stoked for how he's playing at the moment.
Take us into the last 5 minutes last night. What were you guys saying to each other, and did you honestly believe you'd get out of it?
I don't know. It was kind of like a weird feeling. We were kind of still playing footy and that, but it wasn't. Everyone was kind of bugged by that day, so we were just kind of trying to put on some plays and trying to score some points. And then when we got that kind of last try and we had that last set, you know, I was just kind of throw it into the wind, and Moylan just really stood up there and took control of the game and came up with a match-winning play, which was awesome.
Could you feel the Raiders starting to wilt?
It was kind of like that the whole game. We just couldn't really capitalise on it with silly errors and we're kind of giving away way too many penalties. But I was kind of getting that loose feeling in stages when we were completing sets, and we were just lucky enough in that last set of the game we could kind of take advantage of it.
I have my reservations about Matty sort of moving into 5'8", Nathan, based on the fact that he's got free rein at the back there. You know, at fullback, he can come in, he can get the ball on either side of the ruck, and especially how he likes it on the back of momentum to set up those creative plays. But I've got to say, last night, you know, especially in that last 5 minutes, he went over and set that try up for Harara Nira on the right, and then came back on the left and set up that that final try to get you guys a win for Peachy. So he's sort of going to play six the same way he plays one, to the point where he's able to run both sides and he's not going to be anchored down on that left edge?
Yeah, that's kind of the idea we wanted. You know, we didn't want to really change his game too much with him moving from fullback, but, you know, he's a great player, and if he can roam around the field and get the ball when he needs it, you know, that's the best for the team. And if I can kind of get him the ball in positions where he can make the most of it, then that's my job.
Yeah, Nathan, I don't want to sound like an old grumpy man, but I'm going to with this question. What happened when that Herrera Nira jumps over and, you know, pushes someone and he waits till three or four people jump in front of him, then he jumps up and tries to hit him again? What do you think of that when it's like, you know, if that happened to you or if that's your teammate? Do you like seeing that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm not too sure what he was thinking there. He's actually a real nice kid. It's not really like him. I think it was just a bit of a brain snap, and then, yeah, I don't know, but kind of just talk about that during the week. I think he regretted it straight away at half time.
Gotcha.
This whole month, mate, it's changed your whole season, really, hasn't it? Because there were a lot of people starting to write off the Panthers, and it was too much too early put on some of you guys. But suddenly, with four wins in a row, you're right back in it. You're only 2 points out of the eight now, and on a bit of a roll.
Yeah, it's been good to kind of gain some momentum over the last couple of weeks. It was a tough start to the season, but Even in those losses, you know, we didn't feel like we were too far off. We just weren't really putting an 80-minute performance. And, you know, even the last couple of weeks, we haven't been great, but we've been very lucky to kind of scrap those wins, which you need to do. And hopefully we can kind of build off that and keep building our performances coming to the back end of the year.
So we ask a lot of people about this, and I understand it's a difficult question to answer, but how much better can you guys get based on where you're at now and based on what you saw on Thursday night between the Storm and the Sharks? Do you see yourself getting this season to the stage where you can take those guys on in the finals and knock them off?
Yeah, I think there's definitely kind of confidence around the club that we can do that, but obviously there's a very long way to go, and, you know, we're just going to kind of get a bit more clinical in the way we play, and I need to take ownership on that, and me and Moise can kind of build a combination there and keep working on plays and just kind of find a structure that kind of suits us, not that kind of ad-lib play, especially when we get down onto the trial line. And, you know, if we can kind of sort that out, yeah, I think we could give it a real crack.
It's great that you guys are aware of that, because that really seems to be the downfall in a lot of those attacking situations. You play so well in transition. You break out of your own end really quickly and quite easily, and you go through the middle well. But as soon as you get into that goal line attack, it seems you become sort of devoid of ideas. Your set pieces don't seem to be as crisp as what they should be. And then the back end of your sets, obviously, which is your job and Matty's job to finish the sets off with a good kick and try and build some pressure, that seems to be the next step for you guys to go on and take on the big boys.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you watch teams like Storm and even the Cowboys when Thurston's playing well. You know, they're really good at that. And, you know, I've been just kind of watching video on them and trying to kind of pick their brains when they get down the trial and their last plays. And yeah, that's definitely a next step for us. And if we can kind of knuckle that down, then, yeah, I think our game will really improve.
We talk a lot about country footy, and just before you go, Nathan, you guys did always go up there and do a great job at Bathurst, but this time especially, you know, 260 kids at a junior clinic. You saw 4,000-plus kids through 12 school visits, and it's going to be bigger and better again next year. What do you like about getting up there and spending time with the country kids and throwing the footy around?
Yeah, it's Yeah, it's awesome to kind of get out there, you know, because they don't really see any many NRL players. You know, you can just kind of see it on the kids' faces when you meet them. They're stoked, you know. They barely ever get to do it, and you know, if we can kind of do that once a year and kind of make their kids those kids' days, and you know, it's something to really take back.
Nathan, just something out of left field here. When you were growing up in New Zealand, when your father was coaching over there, you played junior football over there, junior rugby league, and it was a sort of a weight-based system. Can you just tell us quickly how that works and how beneficial that was to your career, and whether you think it's something that the NRL should look at?
Yeah, it was kind of like I think it goes up until like under 14s and 15s. It's like a weight for age where like you're still kind of versing big kids, but they're not just ridiculously big like you kind of get in New Zealand, even out here in Penrith. Like there's some kids that are just, when they're younger, they're just absolutely massive, and it's kind of hard for a little guy. They kind of get turned away from the game if, you know, they could be really skillful, but they're just not big enough at the time. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good initiative, especially in the younger ages. You know, you can take a lot out of that. It becomes a lot more skill-based, I reckon, rather than just giving it to the big guy to kind of make the meters and score the tries. But, you know, if that's the initiative that Australia wants to go in and bring it over here, then I think it'd be a really good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
So how did it work, though? It wasn't strictly weight-based, because it was also worked in with age groups as well, didn't it? So, like, I spoke to your father about it. He couldn't quite explain it to me, but he said there were times where you would play someone who would be 20 kilos heavier than you, but the really 30, 40, 50-kilo guys, you didn't get to play against those.
Yeah, so it kind of worked in like a double age. So say you go under 11s and under 12s and then it's under 13s and under 14s just to kind of get enough kids in it. And then, yeah, they just kind of set a weight for each kind of age. And like even when I was about 12, I think I was about 40 kilos, but the weight was still 65, I think. So you're still versing big kids and, you know, it still kind of teaches your toughness and that. But, yeah, I just think it's more you generate those skills.
Yeah, it's something we've got to look at anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Mate, it's got to come in.
All right, Nath, we'll let you go, buddy. Enjoy the long weekend. You've got the bye this week as well. So best of luck. Congratulations on 4 in a row at the Panthers.
Yeah, well done, mate.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. Thanks for that.
Good on you, mate. Nathan Cleary joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL.
Just on that weight, Paul, my kids are coming through now, and there's some big kids, and I played against big kids and it didn't worry me, but there's not as many now. And all those parents that have the big kids, they stand there proud on the sideline, and so they should be because of their kid. But they would never go put them in boxing at a 70-kilo kid and fight a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
But yet they want them to go on a footy field and play against an 11-year-old and knock them around, but they wouldn't let them go and fight someone that is the same weight.
But what are their options, Gordy? What are their options if they want to play?
You take it out of their hands. And you put
sport.
It, like when I first come in, and when – so obviously if I wanted to go play rugby league, I played it at club level, right? And that was everybody. But when I was at school and not everybody played it, but everybody wanted a taste of it up in North Queensland, it was weight-based. And then the old guys, it was 6 stone and all that kind of stuff, but it was kilos. I think it was under 25 kilos, under 35 kilos, under 40, then it was over 40. My brother was a little chubber. He had to play over 40 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
So, or he had to train a bit harder. So what he had to do was mum cut down on his food when he was 12. No joke, and made him, and then look, and he had to run a bit more, right, to play in the age group with all of us. So I think it'd be a great system where if you want to play against kids, don't have Maccas every day. Don't do all that kind of stuff. Your food. Yeah, I mean, but like cut down on your food. And yeah, okay, there's going to be the odd kid that's got a huge dad, like Brad Thorne's kid plays, and he's a really big kid, but he's not, you know, so, you know, you're going to play against a kid that genetically is going to be a big guy, and you feel sorry for those guys. But when there's a weight division, they actually handle it because Thorny knows. So he plays his kid up a grade.
All right. So
when it goes to rugby league, so he's playing against kids.
There we go.
Age.
We've learnt the technical term, the politically correct term for a kid who's slightly overweight, a little chubber. There you go, ladies.
You like I thought that was something that you walked around with in your pyjamas.
Little being the operative word.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL. Thanks to Bryden's lawyers. Let's have a look at the Mongrel Boots lineup for the rest of the show on Sunday Triple M NRL. Ray Dibb from the Doggies, the chairman, will join us on the phone coming up very shortly. So stick around, you doggies fans. That's only a couple of minutes away. The NRL randomizer is back as well. What year will it take us to today? And at 3 p.m., the Aveco Trucks preview of this big game this afternoon between the Tigers and the Roosters. Thanks to Bryden's lawyers, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. Sunday, Triple M NRL.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday, Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, girls. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back. Sunday NRL on Triple M. Our number is 133353. 4 o'clock today, kickoff of the big game, the match of the day between the Tigers and the Roosters. Get it on your app if you like at triplem.com.au. But when it comes to NRL clubs, nobody sets loftier standards than the mighty Bulldogs. Just a string of premierships and grand final appearances over the last three or four decades. But right now, the Doggies are 14th on the ladder, 5 wins, 8 losses, absolutely smashed by Penrith last weekend to the tune of 38-0. Completion rates 14th in the NRL. Penalties conceded 14th in the NRL. They've lost 5 of their last 6. So as I say, by their own high standards, things aren't going to plan. And the chairman of the Bulldogs has been good enough to give us his time this afternoon. Ray Dibb, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Good to have you, mate. Good to thank you so much for your time.
Ray, thanks for coming on. Obviously, we just want to talk about what's happening at the club. And I suppose it all began last weekend. You lost that game in quite unusual circumstances at ANZ. Now, it was a big news day. David Clemmer was in the paper that day, the story saying he wanted to be released from the club. And then after the game, you went into the dressing room and spoke to the players. Can you just tell us what that was about?
Sure. Can I first clear the thing about Dave Clemmer? Dave has never asked the club for a release. Never. Dave had some concerns with his previous management, which has all been sorted out now, but he's never asked for a release at all. To answer your second part of your question, Kenny, is that after the game, sure, a lot of people were emotionally upset, the fans, obviously, the administration, the board, and the sponsors, and obviously Dez. Dez and his coaching staff were hurting, and the players were as well. After the game, as I was walking down, I mean, I always get approached by a lot of the fans and sponsors, and, you know, it's very disappointing when you hear some sponsors have been with your club for a very long time saying, mate, you know, this is disappointing. Why should I continue putting money in this club? And why persist with the coach? So when I went downstairs, Dez had all the boys in a private room, just offside the warm-up sheds. And I walked in there and I said, Dez, I'd like to say a few words to the boys. He goes, mate, let me finish with them first. So I left the room, and once he had his say, he called me back in and I said, Dez, I'd like to talk with players alone. And he dismissed all the staff there, the coaching staff. And then I said, Dez, if I don't want to embarrass you with what I've got to say, so if you don't mind, I'd just like to have a few minutes with the boys of my own. And he did. He gave me the courtesy of speaking to the boys. And I want to just relay back to the players that besides, you know, themselves, obviously, and the fans and the sponsors and are all hurting, is that the coach deserves, you know, more respect. He puts in more effort than anyone else that I know. I mean, he's the first at Belmont, the last to leave. He doesn't leave any stone unturned, and the performance there that day was unacceptable. And the players didn't need reminding of that, but I just wanted to let them know there's one man that, you know, he's always got the backs of the players, and I thought it was my job as chairman of the board to have the back of the coach and say he deserves better than that.
Some people believe that Dez is actually the problem at the club. You said that some of your sponsors have said, why do you persist with the coach? What do you say to that?
Yeah, look, Kenny, I understand. Everyone's frustrated. What we've got to do is we've all just got to stick together, not panic. We're a strong club. We just got to stay calm. And I'm confident that we'll turn it around. Look, Dez is the best coach. Dez's record speaks for itself. I know the top three coaches in the game, Wayne Bennett, Craig Bellamy and Dez Hasler. We've all coached over 350 games. Dez has got the third best strike rate. He's just under 60%. Mm. And the best one there is Bellamy. He's 67. Now, in the last 5 years, people forget that it's only been the Bulldogs and Melbourne Storm that have made the semi-finals every year in the last 5 years. And both clubs have played 2 grand finals. They've won one.
Mm. How did it get to this then?
I think it's frustration. I mean, our fans are the most passionate, emotional fans you can meet in any sporting franchise in the country. And, you know, and they deserve better. I know that. And the boys know that. So does Dez. But, you know, our club doesn't expect. They demand success. That goes for everyone, you know, besides the fans, but also the ex-players, the alumni. I mean, there's a lot of pressure coming from them. They're unhappy. you know, there's a lot of talk behind the scenes, and I get that, and I understand their frustration, but all we can do is ask everyone to stick with us. The year's not over. We're halfway through the year. Dez, knowing who Dez is, you'll have something special to come out tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know when they say, sorry, Ray, it's Gordon, tell us, but when you say
hello,
stick,
mate,
you know, like someone like Terry Lamb, I think, you know, might have been 12 months ago, said that Desi doesn't get the fabric of the Dogs, and then you get someone like a Josh Reynolds. So it must be hard. And, you know, sure, like, then we all make a pat at the Broncos. You can't really go at the footy team because it just rubs and it takes away their confidence. And it looked like that the Dogs are one of those sides as well. But just recently, you know, like the family club, and there was all so tight-knit that there are some rumblings.
Yeah, but that's three questions you asked, so I'll try to answer all three of them. First of all, Terry Lamb, mate, there's no one more passionate than Terry Lamb. Terry works for the club. Terry's always available. I know he was sitting down with Des the other day during the week having a chat. And in regards to the DNA of the club, I mean, we're just about to we finalised the subcommittee for the alumni program that Des wanted to initiate. So there's a committee there that we joining up very soon to sit down with the players and discuss what is the DNA, what is the culture. We talk about culture, but what is culture? I mean, I know the culture of the Bulldog is we never give up. We're resilient to any adversity, and I think we'll show that tomorrow. Your other question was about the family club. There's no one bigger than family than Des, mate. Des is a real family person. Yeah. He's a personal person, and we are family. We're tight. We look after each other in there. It's unfortunate when you do have losses, you know, three or four in a row, you know, people start to think the place is breaking down. I can assure you the players are very tight. The coaching staff are tight. The admin staff are tight. We're all tight. It's just that, you know, we need to get a string, a couple of wins. Hopefully by starting tomorrow, we have a bye the week after. The blokes get another rest, another week's rest, and hopefully we can string it. Like 2014, everyone forgets we lost four in a row. We end up having a great back end of the season. We won eight or nine in a row. Yeah, we lost two out of our last five or six games, but we made the premiership.
Hmm. So, Ray, what do you identify as the problem is now? Because the club, as you said, since Des has been there in 2012, he's made the finals every year, two grand finals, but you're currently down in, what was it, 12th position, and worse than that, your attack is struggling, and you're playing a style of football that makes it very difficult for people to believe is going to make you there come finals time.
Sure. Mate, everyone's committed at the Bulldogs to working hard to get us back to where we belong. Look, Des has changed the attack. I mean, at the start of the year, it was going really well. We had Fawley coming off the bench who's never played first grade before. And the combinations were working well. I mean, with Josh Reynolds, that is. And unfortunately, Josh got injured about 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know, Mbai was going to hooker and Alicia was having a break. It was working and we were stringing some wins there. Mate, look, all I can say is this, we just got to stick together. It is frustrating, the style of play, but I know Des is working on things with his two assistant coaches, with Penner and Jimmy Dimmick.
Yep.
So it is difficult. It's just difficult when you have losses like that. I mean, we're in a hole. We just got to crawl back out. And once we crawl back out, I'd like to think the Bulldog spirit and the culture will be back like we did in 14.
Is the fix as simple as Kieran Foran arriving next year?
No, look, Kieran's a talented player. I mean, he's going to add a lot of value, but, you know, also we're going to lose someone like Josh Reynolds, mate, you know, who epitomises what the Dogs are all about. But can I just clear also one thing here, is that we tried not to sign Josh Reynolds. We offered Josh a 3-year deal. Josh came to my office with his manager. We sat down. It was an emotional time for Josh. I mean, Josh was offered a 4-year deal by the West Tigers. And a good deal. And the difference in those two contracts was someone working, you know, 12 or 14 years in an average job. And when we sat down and worked it out and the pros and cons, and Josh didn't leave for the money. Josh had to leave to look after his family. He didn't want to leave, but we made it very clear. I made it clear to him that he'll always be a Bulldog and one day he'll be a life member of our club.
Mm. The pressure on clubs these days is far more than it ever used to be. We've seen the structure within clubs change, so now that the fans are far more influential, and there's been talk around the club about the board and possible elections next year and a challenge to the board.
Yeah.
Concerned?
Look, I can only worry about what's in front of me at the moment, Kenny. I'm here to do a job for the members. I mean, I represent the board, but we're all united on the board. We answer to the members. They're the stakeholders in our club. And I just hope they stick with us between now and the end of the year. And then come our AGM February next year, we'll be answerable to the members. and hopefully the members will make a decision or vote in the best interest of the club first and not for any individual.
Do you think success this season will change that?
Look, it's up to the members. I know we're a passionate breed at the Bulldogs Way, and members want success. Fans want success. I know there's rumblings in the background. I know some of the old boys are getting together, and that's fine. And it's their constitutional right. And I always say, you know, when there's seven better directors than me, well, there's going to come a time when I have to step down, Kenny. And I hope we just sort of reserve that right till the end of the season.
So what's got to happen between here and the end of the season for the club, to the Bulldogs to make the finals? Like, what, on the field, what do you want to see?
But I just want to see the boys, and they know, mate, that no one's hurting more than the players. They know that's not the Bulldog way or their way, what happened last week. And I think what you'll find tomorrow, that they'll be unified, and they're going to be stronger than ever, and Dez will have them prepared tomorrow. So, yeah, look, the season's still only halfway through, Kenny. I just hope that the fans come and support them tomorrow and stick by them. It's difficult, you know. And, you know, times have changed now, social media and that, you know, where work travels very quickly. You know, something's factual or non-factual, but there are no problems with the Bulldogs. It's just that we're in a hole at the moment. As soon as we get out of it, you'll find that we'll actually get back to our best, just like we did in 14.
Hey, Ray, just a question in closing, mate, one from left field. About a half an hour ago here, or maybe a little bit longer, we had this argument with our listeners about where's it better for a club to play footy, a suburban ground or a stadium. You, as the man in charge of such a successful club who plays at a big stadium, could you weigh in on this debate for us?
Yeah, mate, I got to tell you, you need a hybrid model. I've discussed this previously with the NRL, that we need the suburbia grounds where you get to play at least two or three games. You know, it's a nostalgic thing for a lot of the fans and members where they can bring their next generation of kids with them and experience with them what they experienced when they were kids with their families and relatives. But the big stadiums are where you make your money. I know with the Bulldogs, I mean, with all our corporate partners that we have, the facilities at Belmore couldn't cater for them. And Belmore's capacity is really limited, only about 16,000. I know our crowds haven't been the greatest this year, but, you know, we've had a lot of bad weather. And the Thursday night games don't help either, guys. So I think you need a hybrid model. I think you need the major stadiums, but also the suburbia are really important to your fan base and your culture and your history.
Okay. Thank you, Ray. Thank you for your time, mate. Best of luck for the remainder of the season.
Thanks, guys, and thanks for having us on.
Good on you, mate. Ray Dibb, the chairman of the Mighty Bulldogs, joining us on the line. Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Brighton's lawyers, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. And, Kenny, it speaks volumes for this club when they are up in arms as a group because they've lost four games straight. I mean, that's how successful this club's been in the last 30, 40 years, that just losing four games has got them rattled.
Yeah, and I think to talk about Desi as well, you know, I mean, I think they were supposed to go and, you know, address the members, and it was a forum that was advertised and he didn't and all that kind of stuff. And it's just the old players. And, you know, as I said, mate, the Dogs, they are a proud club. And,
yeah.
And, you know, there was no tougher, you know, when I talk about some of the toughest teams I've ever played against, and it's just the Bulldogs, period. No matter what time I played, but early in my career or late in my career, the Dogs were always a really tough game. And, you know,
Look, the Dragons.
And they wanted success.
The Dragons lost three games in a row as well. I mean, but that it's the manner in which they're playing. Yeah. It's, you know, that 38-0
performance
last
way out.
Week by Penrith.
I don't see a way out for the Dogs.
And their inability to score points in games is an issue, and it points more to the fact of, you know, it looks like at the moment they don't have a direction more so than the results. Mm. Losing four in a row is a big deal for any club.
Yep.
But it's a catastrophe if no one can see a resolution down the track.
They have to change the way. Okay. They have to change their style. Paul McGregor's style last year was getting them nowhere. He changed. Unbelievably, he changed. And look where the Dragons are. And I don't see the Dogs getting out of it. And you can't wait for Kieran Foran. This is Desi's roster. This is not somebody else's roster. You know how you go Nathan Brown? And we give Nathan a bit of, or like Nathan Cleary.
Some latitude.
This is Desi's roster. He's built it. When he got to the club, Kenty, what, they were first or like minor premiers in nearly all three grades or whatever?
They were minor. His first season there, they were minor premiers in New South Wales Cup in the 20s and also the NRL. But they have gone backwards. Their recruitment is nowhere near as strong as it used to be. And the junior development is nowhere near as strong as it used to be. And I think at some point the club's lost a little bit of its priorities about what's important as far as football clubs go. They need to turn it around. Look, let's remember that they've won five games this year. They've lost eight. They also lost their last four games last year to get a really sort of unfortunate and embarrassing exit to the finals. So They're a side that is struggling to score points. Everyone can identify why they are struggling. They play all their football before the line. They're too deep. They play all these shapes and whatnot that basically don't trick anybody defensively, and yet they continue to play. I think that's what's most frustrating for Bulldogs fans is because they're seeing the same mistakes and the same flaws in their style
every week.
And as a fan, when you get beat one week and you get beat because you're playing a certain way, and then the following week you turn up and you lose again, you're playing the same way.
And I think that, you know, a club that's been under so much pressure now for the last couple of years, you'd never hear any rumblings from the players. And I think that they do all love Dez, but I think last week's performance and the result was a fact that they're actually getting tired of playing the same way. They're actually now getting a little bit frustrated to the point where defensively, which is all attitude, their numbers are pretty good. They're ranked in the top five or six in the league defensively, but they can't score points and they don't seem to be changing their systems, which is possibly going to enable them to start competing in those games.
And it's some of the decisions they made. Like, they got rid of, you know, Michael Ennis for Michael Leisha. Michael Ennis goes on, plays his own style of footy that he wasn't allowed to. Right? And they win a competition at Cronulla. So there's all these decisions that have been made that have, you know, brought the Dogs to this. And they're a club that you leave alone because they're so successful. You know, if this was the West Tigers or Parramatta or somebody else, like, everybody would be jumping up and down. But because it's the Dogs and the respect that you have for the way they've done business in the past, you know, you sort of give them a little bit more latitude.
They've also got very vocal fans too. They are, look, Dez didn't turn up to that forum last week, but he will be turning up on Tuesday to a forum where fans, no doubt, and I'll tell you what, the paint will peel off the walls in that room, because some of those Bulldogs fans, they get quite animated, I'll say, about how their team is going. And with Dez there, I think once the floodgates open, and it'll take a couple softlies early on, and then somebody will do a bit of a boo or cat call from elsewhere in the room, and suddenly it'll spark up very quickly.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. Our number is 133353. Mongrel Boots line up for the rest of the show. We'll preview this 4 o'clock game a little later on, thanks to Aveco Trucks. Are the Tigers any chance of beating the Roosters today? We'll talk more about that. And, of course, when I took the patent out and invented this Triple M NRL randomizer, I had no idea of the success it would, the awards that it would win, the behind-the-scenes controversy that it would cause.
Yeah.
But it's back, the Triple M NRL randomizer.
I can't live without it.
I know. Well, I know. You're not on your own. Some time where I'd go through some of the emails I get through the week about it saying...
Can you read old Joycey's out?
Oh, Joycey says, Maroon, you're a Triple M legend. Good to have you back on Sundays. And we'll love the randomizer. Go the Bunnies.
Joyce,
so what we'll do...
She's a TGB listener, isn't she?
We'll take a break.
Wake her up, tell her the show's on.
We'll take a break and come back with the Triple M NRL randomizer as Triple M rocks the footy.
A minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Welcome back to it. Time for this.
Absolute magic.
Break out your heritage jersey.
The ball's loose.
Crack open a can of Reshes.
Premieres in a convincing manner.
It's time for a Triple M NRL trip down memory lane.
Yeah, time for the Triple M NRL randomizer. So what this is we fire off the randomizer. It spits out a year. We look at certain things that happened that year, but, of course, we relate it all back to our favourite game, which, of course, is rugby league. So now it's time for Ryan Girdler to set off the Triple M NRL randomizer. Go for your life, Ryan.
Good work.
R2-D2.
You're getting very good at that. Oh, look at the year it spat out. The year of 2002.
Oh,
wow.
Glad you got there, Maroon.
Well, it went back when Maroon and Millie were ruling the airwaves of the Triple M Night Phone show back in 2002.
Ruining the air, I thought you said.
Now, here are the top five songs of 2002. Foo Fighters, All My Life.
Never heard of that song. Never heard of it.
Jimmy Eat World, The Middle. The Strokes, Last Night. By the way, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Heavy glow, by the way I shine.
and Blurry by Puddle of Mud. Yeah, that was the top five. Well,
that was a really bad year for music.
Well,
just
that's
saying.
What? Really?
Good songs in there, man. Come on.
That was this horrible.
Who did you go and see the other night?
Red Hot Chili Peppers?
He went to see Black Box at the 90s. Who was it?
Vanilla Rice. He's got a photo of Vanilla Rice.
Vanilla Rice.
Yeah.
Couldn't you go for a Vanilla Slice right now? How good would a Vanilla Slice be?
Vanilla Slice would be great.
How good?
I haven't had one since the Marcel and Tuck Shop. Now, after finally receiving a court ruling in their favour, the mighty South Sydney Rabbitohs, it's my team, were readmitted into the competition having been out since 1999. It turned out a tough year on the field, winning just 5 from 24 matches played, but they went on to win the 2014 grand final. I just threw that bit in. Stephen Bradbury wins Australia's first Winter Olympic Games gold medal after becoming the last man standing when all his competitors in the semi-final unbelievably did so again in the final. So here is some audio.
In the semi and the final?
Yeah. Fell in both.
Did
yeah.
They?
Here is some audio.
Here's the bell. One lap for gold. He's reaching back for one more gear. Trying to hold up lead. They bump. They bump.
Yeah, so they all fell over and Bradbury went right through and won the event.
That was like in 2014, the NRL.
Have you ever heard Bradbury talk about that?
No, I haven't.
It's really interesting. He tells his story about...
Was his strategy?
It was his strategy.
Get
no,
out.
No, seriously. He
stay out of trouble.
He knew when that he went into that final. He got there because they all fell over in the semi-final. And he knew that he was not going to win. So what he thought, I'll go ahead with it and I'll just sit out at the back out of trouble, and if one falls over, I might slip through and get a bronze medal. That was his strategy. But when after it, and a lot of people say, well, mate, how can you just go up and pick up that gold medal after what happened? All three in front of you fell over and you're last man standing. And he thought about that, and he thought, you know, this isn't for that race. This is for a whole lifetime I've spent dedicating to myself, myself to this moment. And I think when you hear it in that light, you think, good on you. He knew he wasn't the best, and he'll freely concede he wasn't the best, but he admits that that was his strategy, just stay out and hopefully he might slip through and get a bronze if someone slipped over. All three slipped over. He went through and got gold.
All right.
And I think his job was making skates for all the world's best skaters. He was making skates, so there might be a little bit of a theory about that.
Okay, State of Origin was the... this is the Triple M randomizer, by the way, 2002. State of Origin was the second drawn series in 4 years with the Maroons holding onto the title. This led to the introduction of extra time in State of Origin matches. In Game 1, a youthful-looking Blues team proved far too good for their older rivals, running away with a 32-4 win. In typical fashion, Queensland bounced back to win in Game 2, 26-18. With the decider being 18-all... Game 3 at Stadium Australia, famous for the gold, the Gordon Tallis ragdoll tackle on old Brett Hodgson. Have a listen to some of the commentary.
Hodgson around to Carey. Hodgson lassoed by Tallis. Look at Tallis. Look at Tallis. He drags him over and out of the rectangular ring.
Well, you will not see a better tackle than that from Gordon Tallis.
I've never seen anything like that. It was like watching the kids play. It was like a 16-year-old grabbing hold of an 8-year-old.
Yeah, it was bullying. Really?
Bullying, it was.
Oh, well, he looked like Paul Kent, little Brett Hodgson, a little blonde-headed guy. So as I got him, I thought, oh, no, actually, he was taller than Paul. So, he was like Paul Kent in stilettos.
I've never been there, Gordon.
All right.
You're killing me.
The 2002 Game 3 was also the last-minute try to Dane Carlaw to square the game in the series, and Gordy giving the Sydney crowd a one-finger salute in reaction to an offensive side about his mum. Here's some commentary.
Carlaw has levelled. It is 18-all now.
Gordon's giving it to the supporters. Yeah, no need for that.
And Gordon Tallis appeals to the crowd for the due applause for the Queenslanders.
And the great Rabs Warren calling the Origin
putting
game.
Putting a smother on things.
And the Bulldogs were found guilty of serious salary cap breaches and were stripped 37 of their 41 competition points, fined $500,000. They were poised to take the minor premiership, having won 17 straight matches. They ended up with the spoon. The Warriors ended up as minor premiers and made their first grand final, only to be beaten by the Roosters 30-8. Highlights of the 2002 grand final.
Mullins goes for the accelerator. Mullins gets the ball inside. Shannon Heaton.
goes from the left side. Works over to the right side. Here's Craig Wigan. Craig Wigan is in to score. Rickardson to Fletcher. Fletcher puts the arm up and he goes over. The 2002 champions are the Sydney Roosters.
And a lot of people might argue that the Roosters only won that premiership.
Sound like Rabsin, the 2002.
Do you think he was bunging it on?
Yeah, I think that bloke that was commentating.
Whatever happened to Billy J. Smith? Why don't they get him to call a couple of games? Billy J. Smith from
It's a knockout.
Oh, and he's fallen over. How's he going up there in Brisbane?
Billy J.'s gone fantastic. I saw him actually last Friday, I think. I saw Billy J. walk into the Brecky Creek Hotel.
Ah, beautiful. All right. October 12, terrorists in Indonesia bombed two Bali nightclub, killing 202 people, including 88 Australians. An awful time.
Yes, that was sad.
Media puzzle written by Damien Oliver won the Melbourne Cup just days before Oliver's brother Jason had died in a race fall. So some audio of that.
200 metres to go, and he shot away. Media puzzle, three lengths in front. This is the one that Damien's wanted. This is the one that he's riding for Jason. And media puzzle goes to the line to win the Melbourne Cup. Damien stands high in the irons, salutes the heavens. That's for Jason.
Yes, back in 2002, when we're all just a little bit younger. And once again, Ryan Girdler, thank you so much for pushing the button on the Triple M NRL randomizer.
Can't wait for next week.
Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Bryden's lawyers, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Anthony Maroon. Thanks to Aveco Trucks. I haven't been able to scam a free car this year. I'm happy to get a truck. I'm happy to drive a truck if we can get me an Aveco truck. Strong by nature, aveco.com.au. We will preview Tigers and Roosters, Gordon. And we'll do it next on Sunday. Triple M NRL is Triple M Rocks.
Triple M Rocks. Sunday Arvo Footy. For Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.